Good morning. I'm going to be in a couple of different places this morning. If you want to turn with me, I'm going to be over in Isaiah, the 7th chapter, beginning with, but my main text is going to come from Hosea, the 10th chapter. Isaiah, the 7th chapter, we're going to begin with about the 23rd verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines and 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on the hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the shedding forth of oxen and for the treading of lesser cattle. If you would turn over to the 12th or the 10th chapter of Hosea, the 12th verse. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is a time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let us read that last verse there again. Sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, and break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let us pray this morning. Father, as we come, Lord, I come thanking you again for this opportunity that we have, Lord. I thank you for every soul that's here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that this message, Lord, that it would go out, Lord, and it would touch our lives. It would touch our hearts, Lord. And, Father, that it would bring us closer to you, Lord. And, Father, we want to give you the praise. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, that died upon the cross. And we will give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. We just come out of a week of revival service. We've heard everything from taking advantage of opportunities to the very simple message of salvation, did we not? I believe those who heard the messages down through the week can testify to the fact of what I just talked about right there, that the preaching this week had something for everyone. I believe that it did. If you were, you know, if you missed one night of it, I'm telling you what, it may have been something that was needed for you. I also believe that anyone can attest to the fact that no one can experience revival for you. Do you believe that? Revival, just like salvation, is a personal experience. If you got revived this week, no matter how much I try to tell you that I got revived, if you did not get revived, if you were not here for the revival, you don't understand what I'm talking about when I'm saying revival would come this week. So I believe that everyone that had taken part in this revival has been touched in different areas of their life. I believe that. If they allow the word that was spoken this week, if they had allowed it, do you know what? To get into their hearts, to sink into it, if they allowed the singing to stir their hearts, if they allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with them, I'm going to tell you, we will all agree that revival, that it will turn and help us be, and we can become revived. Am I right? Amen. That we can be that way. And I'll tell you something else. We need revival in our hearts. Every one of us needs it. With God, we need to get focused back with what God has for every one of us. You know, this is a sermon that should have been preached before revival. I understand that. But God had put it upon my heart for this reason this morning. It's easy to say that we need revival in America, is it not? You know, because we do. It's easy to say that we need revival in West Virginia, because we do. It's easy to say that we need revival in church, and we do. But I'm here to tell you this morning that none of this revival, none of it, and if you amen and nodded to every bit of it down through the week, unless there's first revival in your heart, the rest of it will not happen. Do you agree with me on that? Unless revival begins in your heart, every individual I'm talking to here this morning, everybody that goes to church, unless revival begins in your heart, revival will not break out in the churches. Revival will not break out in this nation. Revival will not break out in this state. Unless it breaks out in our hearts, unless there's first revival in each of our hearts. You see, revival begins with each of us. When we love Jesus above anything else, revival will begin in our hearts. You agree with me on that? Let me ask you a personal question this morning, and I'm going to be dead serious with everybody in here this morning. Do you really love Jesus? I'm asking you, do you love Jesus this morning? That's something that every one of you in here has got to ask. You've got to answer that for yourself this morning. You see, if you love someone, you'll spend time with them. How much time are you spending with the Lord on a daily basis? How much time are you spending time with Him? You never really truly experience heartfelt revival unless you spent time with Him. None of us will. That goes from the preacher right here on down the line. We will not feel revival in our hearts unless we really, and I'm talking about heartfelt revival, unless we truly love the Lord and want to spend time with Him. I've said this here before. You know what? If I say that I love my wife, I want to spend time with her. Am I right? If you tell me that you love somebody or that you love something, you will spend time with that. The revival that this community needs, that this nation needs, has to start in the hearts of every individual that's in this church and out here in this world. And I'll say it again and I'll repeat it. If you and me truly want to make a difference, if we truly want to make a difference, we have to love Jesus and we have to show those out there in the world that we do truly love Jesus. Amen? If we love Jesus, we'll show all we can and all that we come in contact with that we love Him. And guess what? It will not be lip service. It's easy to say that we love something. Am I right? Am I preaching to you right this morning? It's easy to say that we love something or love Jesus. But when it comes right down to it, do we really love Him? Listen, Luke 10, 27, 28 tells us this. And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live." Do you love the Lord God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind? Did you get that? He'd come and ask Jesus a question. And he said, Jesus said, "What's the law say?" And he told him. But Jesus said, "You answered right." Do you love Him with every ounce and every fiber of your being here this morning? Every fire has to start with a spark. Do you agree with that? Are you willing to be that spark this morning? You know what, when I was thinking about this, the Lord put something upon my heart about this. If you look at the book of James, I'd like everybody to turn to the book of James, and let's turn with me to the third chapter of the book of James. I'm going to read the fifth verse. And you know what I'm going to do this morning? I don't normally do this, but I'm going to take it a little bit out of context this morning. But I'm going to read this to you. "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know, that's talking about people using their tongues in the wrong way. But I'm here this morning to tell you that if we love Jesus the way that we say that we love Jesus, you know what? Are those same tongues that we use for evil? What a little fire can start. You know what? A little spark of us trying to tell the world and showing our love for Jesus and showing our community and letting our friends and our family know that Jesus truly loves them. What a little spark can start. What a great revival can start in your life and maybe in your family's life and maybe can spread over to this church. Amen? I believe we could set not only the church, but our community, but our nation on fire for the Lord. You know what? If we would use these tongues for the right reason. Amen? If we would do that. God sent the prophet Hosea to sound the call for revival. We would do well to heed the prophet's call today. And he said in 10:12, "Sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground." What is fallow ground that I'm talking about that I want to preach to you about this morning? Fallow ground was once productive. Do you know that? Fallow ground was once where it should be. Fallow ground was where it produced plentiful. But something's happened. Something's happened. It goes on to say there in verse 12, it said, "Seek ye mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till it he come and rain righteousness upon us." At one time, it gave forth bountiful. That's what this ground did at one time, but now it don't. Now it's desolate. Let me ask you a question this morning. And I'm asking every one of us in here this morning, and I'll talk to myself as well. I don't preach just to you. Do you realize that? I preach to Dave Long as well. You understand that? Are we producing a little more than weeds in our lives? Hosea could identify with the need to break up the fallow ground. Listen to me. I think it's time. You know what? If you have not felt the Spirit in a while, if at one time you were truly on fire for God and you felt God working in your life and you felt the Spirit of God moving in your life, but now maybe it's not quite that way. I'm here to tell you this morning. I want to give you good news this morning. You can plow up the fallow ground. You can get it prepared. You know what? This revival service is down through this week. Maybe the message was for you. Maybe it was for you. And maybe you just really hasn't taken it to heart until this week. But I'm here to tell you this morning that it's time to plow up the fallow ground. It's time to get it ready. There's too much at stake. I say this a lot, but I truly mean this. There's way too much at stake in this day and age we live in. Folks, we have lost in our families. And I've heard Jason say this, and it is the truth. It's hard to talk to your own family sometimes. I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, it's time that we plowed up the fallow ground and let the Word and let the seed of God come in here. He said, you know, Hosea knew about the miraculous deliverance that God had performed with the children of Israel. He knew about the Red Sea crossing. He knew about the manna from heaven, the water from the rock, God's wonderful watching care over His people. Maybe you're sitting here this morning. You know what? You know Jesus. I'm not saying that you're lost. I'm not saying that this morning right now, but I'm saying you do not feel the Spirit moving in your life the way it once did. You understand that? I'm here to tell you this morning, listen to me. Listen to me. If the Spirit of God is not dealing with you the way that it used to, I'm telling you, I'm asking you to come up here. The ground has got briars, it's got weeds in your heart. You need to get that stuff out of there before you're totally lost again. There was a fading from memory because of the sin that was in their lives. And listen to me this morning. You know what? God may have done a miraculous work in your life at one time. And maybe that memory is fading from you this morning. I do not know. Israel had sinned against a holy God. They had did that. A nation that had collectively lost their first love. They had collectively done that. And just like Israel, the United States of America is the same way today. We went down the same path. But it's not just our nation that's in a mess. And I'm here to tell you, we can talk about our nation all we want to. I'm here to tell you, sadly, you know where the real fault lies? With our nation today, the real fault lies within the church of the living God not being what the church of the living God ought to be. The church lies within the individuals that go to these churches that have sat back and let the weeds and the briars come up in their lives and choke out what God is trying to get out a message to everyone around us. He's trying to let us know, listen, that salvation is for all and that all can be saved and that you can be blessed no matter the situation that you're in. Sadly, the real fault lies in churches. Again, I'll just tell you that. They've grown cold. Churches have grown cold. Am I judging? By their fruits you shall know them. Listen to me. By their fruits. Many, and I wrote it down because I believe this is good. It said, many are more interested in playing church than changing lives. Amen? More are interested in social gatherings than they are souls. More are interested in corporations than congregations. And I'll tell you something else. More are interested in the windows in churches than they are the widows out here. Amen or oh my. That's what happens so many times to churches around. Caring for more for the yard than they are caring for the youth. All because, you know what? All have become saints rather than sinners saved by grace. You know what? Everybody, and this is something that I've thought about a long time now. And I don't say this without much thought. You know what? Everybody's a saint nowadays. No one's lost. You know what I'm saying? Because you know why? Because we don't preach the gospel like it should be preached anymore. We pat people on the back and we tell them it's okay. It's all right. Go on and live the way that you want to live. Listen to me. We cannot do that if we want the fallow ground to be plowed back up. We cannot do that. All have become that. Caring less and less about the lost. Caring less and less about the lost and that Jesus died for us. You know what? I heard a preacher say this and I believe this is the truth. We've got to get back to the message that Jesus Christ died for sinners and that Jesus Christ can still save lives and stop worrying about so much other stuff out here. What used to be great harvest fields are now fallow ground. They are. You know why? Because fallow ground produces thins and it produces a lot of thistles and thorns is what it produces. Matthew 13:22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Listen to me. Are you like that this morning? You know what the Word of God says. Have you become unfruitful? Have you let the cares of this world, have you let the things in this life spring up in your life and choke out what God has tried to do in your life? Listen, He does it. We allow this to happen. We allow it to happen, and Satan is very, very, very slick in the way he does it. How many of you raise a garden? Can I see hands in here? How many of you raise gardens? Yeah. Do you just take and grab the seed and just throw it out the back door and hope for the best? Huh? You don't do that, do we? Listen to me. And neither should we do that when it comes to spreading the Word of God and getting the Word out there. We don't do it that way. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Fallow ground can produce the roots of bitterness as well. In Hebrews 12:14-15, follow peace with all man and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest that any man fail of the grace of God, lest, get this, any root of bitterness spring up, troubling you, whereby ye may be defiled. Satan's favorite tool, and I'm going to say this morning, against Christians is that of bitterness. Be aware. The tool most often used against the church is this. You wonder why you need to get the fallow ground out of your life. Here's one of the reasons right here. This tool is used most effectively against the church, against Christians. We just come out of revival. And I'm here to tell you today, you know what? Be careful. The bitterness don't spring up in your soul. You say, well, we just come out of revival. Listen to me. Satan would love nothing more than to steal your joy. Man, I felt so good during revival. Well, what about this morning? Listen to me. Don't let Satan do that. Jealousy, backbiting, fussing, lack of cooperation. There's no more hurtful things in God's house than the bitterness that can spring up if we let that happen. I'm here to tell you, no one deserves any glory for anything that happened this past week except Jesus Christ and God. No one. No one. Listen to me. Don't let that happen to you. I'm here to preach. The Lord has impressed upon me that this morning. I mean, I was up 5:00 this morning. And God impressed that part of that on me this morning. He said, listen to me. He said, don't let that bitterness spring up in the church. And I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let it happen to you. I don't know what's going on. It ain't none of me. That's between you and God. But I'm here to tell you this morning, don't let it happen. If you become bitter to someone in the church, towards the church or even towards God, I'm here to tell you this morning, get up here and before the briars raise up too much in your life, get up here and let's get it taken out of there. Notice in Hebrews 12:5, at the end of it, it said, thereby many be defiled. I'm here to tell you what, that's the biggest thing that Satan will use against churches is that bitterness that can spring up. Do you agree with me on that? It's that bitterness. If you have ever become bitter towards a fellow Christian, toward the church or even towards God, I'm here to tell you, your heart will become fallow. You'll have to get the weeds and stuff out of there. If you want to have revival in your heart again, that stuff has to get out of there. If it does not get out of there, you will never have that revival. You'll never have that. You'll not be where God wants you to be this morning. Fallow ground can produce lazy Christians as well. Do you know that? Lazy Christians. Folks, God never gave us a harvest that we didn't have to work for. I want to ask you a question. You guys that go fishing in here, you ladies. When you're out there fishing, if you sit out there on that boat and don't put your hook in the water, what are you going to catch? You're not going to catch a thing. Am I right? We can't be lazy in the work for the Lord. That's not that we cannot be that way. We have to be want to get out there and try to get compel them to come into the house of God. We cannot be lazy. This is a principle of the harvest. It's a principle of anything you want to do. The fields can be fertilized. They can be planted. They can do all that. But if you don't take and keep the weeds out of them, I'm here to tell you the weeds will overchoke what's in that garden. Am I right? Me and Tink's found that out a couple times, haven't we? If you raise a garden, you've got to keep the weeds out of it. You've got to keep it out if you want to produce what's there. And then the fields had to be watered. And there has to be care taken to whatever. And listen to me. Listen, we cannot be lazy. We cannot be lazy. I preach this sometimes, and I mean this. I say this with all love in my heart. Listen to me. All of us have a job to do. Every one of us have a job to do in here. Don't think for one minute, hey, listen, it's Rodney's job. Not just you, it's Rodney's job when God's calling you to do it. Am I right? It's Ryan's job. No, it's not. If God's calling you to do it, it's your job. It's not Ryan's. Ryan may end up doing it because no one else will do it. Rodney may end up doing it because no one else will do it. But that doesn't mean that it wasn't your job to begin with. And God would have blessed you so much. We cannot have lazy. That'll cause fallow ground in your life. Just sitting back, letting someone else do it. That'll do that. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, when I go out fishing, I want to catch fish. I want to put bait on my hook and I want to put it in the water. And I want to catch fish. As Christians, when we go out to this lost and dying world, you know what? Sheep beget sheep, don't they not? Christians should beget Christians. Amen? We should do that. You know what? I don't care how much tackle you got. I don't care how nice a boat you got. I don't care if you know where every fish is in the lake. If you don't put the hook out, you don't catch nothing. You won't catch nothing. I'm asking you here this morning. I'm asking you, you know what? Have you got that in your life this morning? Have you felt like you've not been revived for whatever reason? Is it something, you know what? It's time to break up the fallow ground. If it takes a mattock, like the scripture I used over there, you know what? If it takes a mattock to get the junk out of your life. Over there in Isaiah, if you read that scripture I read, that ground was good for nothing. Did you notice that? It said at one time it had many vines on it, produced many grapes, whatever it did, maybe all, I don't know what all was on it. But now it was good for nothing except briars and thorns. They said even the hunters in the air, the hunters would go out there and hunt because where does the stuff usually shed? It's in heavy brush, am I right? It may not be no good for growing anything except briars and thistles. I'm here to tell you this morning, check your heart out today. I don't know where you stand with the Lord this morning. Maybe you've got to the point in your life where you cannot feel the Spirit of God. You can't feel like the revival. You can't feel like the Spirit that God's talking to you anymore. I'm here this morning to ask you, as they come and get a song, come up here this morning. And I'll tell you, not all of your heart may be that way, but there may be a part of it that's that way this morning. I'm asking you, please come this morning. Please come.